When reading about Samuel Johnson's dictionary in English 12, one exercise I like to do is have students look up new words that have been added to the dictionary and to see what dictionaries proclaim as the word of the year. The prestigious Oxford English Dictionary named RIS word of the year, which I'm sure would have delighted the students in that class, but we were fortunately looking at the Merriam-Webster dictionary that day in class. I was somewhat surprised to see that Merriam-Webster named authentic, which is of course not a new word at all, as the word of the year for 2023. They note on their website that, quote, a high-volume lookup most years, authentic saw a substantial increase in 2023, driven by stories and conversations about AI, celebrity culture, identity, and social media. They mention authentic being connected with identity, especially with celebrities such as Taylor Swift, and argue that with the rise of artificial intelligence and its impact on deepfake videos, actors' contracts, academic honesty, and a vast number of other topics, the line between fake and real has become increasingly blurred. It strikes me that at this time of year, many people are also seeking some sort of authenticity in their Christmas celebrations. Their attempts at authenticity, however, may also confuse the real and the fake. People may connect Christmas with spending time with the family or keeping up with certain traditions, watching particular movies, decorating the Christmas tree, or making cookies. But these traditions themselves may even distract us from the real, authentic meaning of Christmas. While seeking Christmas joy from the outward trappings of Christmas, people may continue to chase after fleeting happiness or end up actually depressed around the holidays. So rather than ending the semester by wishing you a Merry Christmas, I want to wish you an authentic Christmas and spend some time this morning marveling and pondering what this means. The notion of marveling and pondering what Christmas means comes straight from the account of the night of Christ's birth. We read in Luke 2:18-19, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. This example of meditating upon the glorious news of our coming Savior also provides a two-step process for us celebrating authentic Christmas. Hearing the gospel, the good news of Christ coming to earth to be our Savior, hearing that gospel in the Word of God, and then thinking about what that means. In fact, discovering our own identity, our own authentic identity, comes from the Bible as well. What do we learn about ourselves from God's Word? Crucially, we learn that we are sinful from birth. We're born sinful creatures into a fallen world where we will live and then eventually die. Furthermore, God's Word shows us His true identity as a holy, just, and all-powerful God, a God who has also provided us His law to follow. When we compare our actions throughout the day to that law, we can see how we constantly fail. We can't even get past the first commandment without recognizing immediately how we neglect to put God first in our lives. As we go down every commandment, we see that we fail to do what God wants us to do and end up doing what He tells us not to do. Looking clearly at ourselves through God's law provides an unflinching look at our true, authentic self. Sinful wretches who deserve only God's punishment and wrath, including death and then eternity in hell. Our reaction to seeing ourselves in the mirror of God's law may provide a similar reaction to the shepherd's appearance of the angel of the Lord. We are greatly afraid. But note that the angel tells them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Similarly, God brings us the great news of Christ's birth, which leads directly to the cross and the empty tomb, that greatest story of our redemption from our sins. Only through first seeing how sinful we are in God's sight can we appreciate this wonderful Christmas message. When celebrating Christ's birth, then, we are comforted by our other authentic identity. We are God's restored, redeemed, and forgiven children. Given our natural sinfulness and our utter inability to follow God's law, we can see the miraculous nature of the authenticity of our identity as justified before God's sight. Just think, the Son of the living God and true God himself made himself into a lowly human, a baby. And he did that to save wretched sinners who by their nature hate him. Though it's a familiar passage, it's worthwhile for us to pause and think about these words from Galatians. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as sons. What a miracle. In addition, Christ did not just become man for us, he also suffered for our sins, died, and rose again. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The birth of our Savior is the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament, showing the authenticity of scriptures, and also the beginning of the fulfillment of the prophecies of Christ living and dying, taking on all our sins so that we can stand before God fully justified and gain the gift of eternal life. It's always striking when reading the Christmas story in Luke to see the different examples of the shepherds proclaiming the good news of Christ's birth while Mary ponders it. Tonight at our Christmas concert, many of you will be proclaiming the wonderful news of salvation. I pray that we will also be able to take some time to marvel about the miracle of the birth of our Savior and to ponder what that exactly means to us. I hope we can also find some quiet, reflective time in this busy season to consider what the Christmas message really means for us, and thus find the authentic joy and peace that comes through faith in Jesus as our Savior from sin. So I hope you don't mind that I close here by not wishing you a Merry Christmas. Well, I will wish you a Merry Christmas and wish you a blessed New Year. But also I want to wish you an authentic Christmas celebration. Please remain seated after our hymn. There will be an announcement. We'll continue by singing hymn 85, verses 13 through 15. 85, verses 13 through 15.